Broadcasting live from the beautiful Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's OAUG Radio at Collaborate 15, the technology and applications forum for the Oracle community. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Welcome back. We're live here at Collaborate 2015 here at Mandalay Bay Resort Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we've got a special guest coming on with us next, don't we, Ryan?
We sure do, and we're very fortunate to have him in the booth. We've filled the airways up today, all things Oracle already, but I think this guy is really going to get into it, some meat and potatoes about what they do.
Absolutely. And I know we have with us Cliff Godwin, the VP of App Development at Oracle. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to have you on again. I know you and I spoke at Open World, and we kind of talked about the smartphone apps and all the neat stuff. The 14 coming out.
Right.
It was iOS then, and now you got it on Android. So I know we're going to get back into that stuff. But first, what's new with eBusiness Suite?
Well, so since a year ago when we were on together, we've come out with a 12.2.4 release. It's the latest update to the 12.2 release line. And what that has with it is some new capabilities in all the different product areas. We've also come out with new Endeca extensions. We've come out with a new wave of smartphone apps that you just mentioned. So really continuing to invest on roughly an every year type of cadence, coming out with a new release. We're working on another one that would go out later this year, and then expect to keep doing that going forward. So lots of new capabilities and lots of good uptake of the things we've done so far. That you see people moving on to the 12.2 release and got a lot of interesting new stuff like all the smartphone apps.
Right. I know one thing that's kind of common, and it's not with you guys, is that people just come out with a new upgrade for sake of coming out with a new upgrade, but mm-hmm. your upgrades are actually creating new features that are important for people to have, and one of those is in-memory apps.
That's right. So we have in the in-memory apps, that's all basically new since last time we were together. And what we've got there as a sort of first example of that is our in-memory costing, which is a case where we've taken advantage of the databases in memory, database technology, to allow you to simulate what would it mean to your cost structure of every product you sell if you negotiated for a particular discount at some component that's used all throughout your product line.
Right.
And so with that app, you can really figure out how much value there is in getting that discount, or how much it's going to mean if you see a commodity cost trend or some other kind of pricing trend that affects your costs happening in the marketplace, what that's going to mean to your margins, and then how you might want to react to that from a business perspective. It's taken traditionally days to come up with an analysis of one of those scenarios, and now with our technology, we can get that done in a few minutes. So it's a really whole different type of way of thinking about that problem if you could solve it in a few minutes.
Well, it's a huge value add. I mean, that's a whole different return on its investment for going to from even if you're on 12.2 to going to 12.2.4.
Yeah, well, this in-memory costing capability is something that we've just come out with, and it's really the tip of the iceberg. We're going from there into some more in-memory apps that are things like helping semiconductor companies, metals companies, people with like big complex manufacturing processes where you want to predict whether a problem at one step of the process is going to yield a quality issue much later in the process. And we're looking at taking all the big data that's happening in the manufacturer, all the instrument readings from all the machines, and putting that all together and letting you analyze why you might have a quality problem, where's that coming from, what can you do to fix it. Stuff that's very valuable to manufacturing type companies that are in those businesses.
So 12.2 happened at Open World for the most part, right? So what's the momentum leading up to that and through to 12.4? How are customers reacting?
Yeah, so what we're seeing is we announced where we delivered 12.2 right about 18 months ago. So it was in late 2013 at the Open World Conference we really went live with the 12.2. Now, in the 18 months since then, we've had thousands of downloads of that, many customers starting projects, working their way toward 12.2. At this point, we've got just under 100 live sites. I think we have 60-some live sites, and another over 100 that we know of that are expecting to go live just in the next few months. So we're seeing good uptake, and generally we're at a point where customers who are doing these projects are getting pretty routinely successful at it, so it's not like an early pioneering experimental kind of thing anymore. But it's pretty solid, and anybody who's trying to think about whether to go to 12.2 or they should just go ahead and do their project, because at this point it's pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, and true to form, whenever you come out with a new release, they're like, okay, that's great, but what's next?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's always the question. As soon as you come out with something, it's like, well, what do you got next? So we're planning to do as I mentioned, we're going to do a 12.2.5, a 12.2.6, keep doing these things. and keep adding new capabilities based on the Endeca technology, new smartphone apps, and we're continuing to invest in all these directions going forward. And we're continuing to modernize the user interface to make it, you know, appealing on tablets and make it just for all the modern things people expect when you come in from the consumer internet world
right.
experiences. You know, what do you expect in your applications? And we're trying to make sure the Ebon Suite keeps up and keeps modern with those kind of expectations.
Yeah, and part of that is investing not only your time, but investing money into certain priorities, right? So how are you guys kind of managing that with keeping on your current trajectory of where you're trying to get to?
Well, we're managing, I mean, the main investment themes we have around user interface, around improving the functionality, and around what we call operational efficiency, meaning making the system less costly to own and operate. So we really organize our investment along those themes. I mentioned some of the user interface things we're doing, like the smartphone apps. And then in the functionality area, we're doing some strategic projects that we have going on thematically, like the in-memory costing. We're trying to leverage a technology to really revolutionize how a business problem is solved. But in addition to that, we're listening to customers and doing the enhancement requests they're asking for. So that's a very important aspect of what we do in the releases. And then the signature feature of 12.2 is really online patching. And so that's, you know, another thing that we've delivered that's a lot of value to customers. So, you know, user interface, functionality, operational efficiency, those are really the themes we always organize around. And we're really trying to listen to customers to prioritize what they care about most.
Right. Well, and part of that, you know, we're here in a booth sponsored by OAUG. Talk about how vital those user groups are to actually get you in touch with the users, because you can't go around to every customer. I mean, that's not feasible.
That's right, it's not. And so we really do rely on the user group, and at several different levels. So we work with the, we have customer advisory boards where certain customers that care a lot about a particular thing and come really invest in doing design work with us. We have our developers and product managers attend the special interest groups, the OAUG special interest groups that have meetings at these conferences. And, you know, we provide the roadmap of what we're planning to do. We listen to feedback about whether that was on target and what people want to see next. There's discussions about, you know, the priorities that people are seeing, what our customers are asking for. So really just for the effort of coming to the conference and showing up at one of the special interest group meetings, you can have really a material impact on where we go with the products. And then beyond that, we've actually got a new approach to enhancement requests that we've worked on with the OAUG and the, you know, whole user community. About moving that model from the service request type model where you call support or log a internet support ticket for a service request, moving that to a social networking model. So all of those are different ways of listening to customers, but it all comes down to listening to customers, and the user groups are like a key, really central facilitator of that kind of mediator of that type of interaction.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed a lot, especially with Oracle, you guys are really trying to get those user interfaces, those GUIs, in a way that is how users are already kind of doing their consuming their media, right? I mean, that's the key.
That's right. It is key. And so for that's why people now expect that you could do what you need to do on a smartphone. They'd expect what you could do on a tablet. They expect us to design.
They demand it.
Well, they demand it, and it's what they see in their regular consumer lives, and they see a lot of behaviors around the way that they shop for things on the internet or the way that they work with Facebook or something, and they expect those kind of behaviors to be in their professional apps that they use at their work. And a lot of times it's a bring your own device world. So you bring your smartphone with all your personal apps on it, and you have some apps from your company and you're doing those too. So they can't be like clunky and require training and all this kind of, you have to have the design.
Well, then you got to secure it.
Well, it's right. From the company's perspective, they have to be secure in a way that the consumer apps don't, but it's like, because the company data is there, but it also, just from a usability perspective, they have to be simple and natural and just totally intuitive for people to use. So we're really trying to set the bar there, make them super easy to use, and make the behaviors that people see on tablets apply to these apps as well. So that's really a big thrust of our UI work.
Well, one thing, and I'm sure you see this on a daily basis, but when we get the chance to come in here and interview some of your team, everyone is super excited and passionate about not only what they're doing, but the impact they're making in the user life and hearing from them.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's so cool.
Absolutely.
Especially from a huge company like Oracle. I mean, it's rare,
I think we you know, have a culture of trying to get as much contact with the customer as we can, and I think the user, we have that at our Open World conference, but then we also have that all at the user sponsored conferences, which are independent things. We don't run these. The users decide whatever they want to do, what speeches are going to be given, and all that. and but we're there to support it, and we participate in the SIGs, we give the talks that you know the user group picks, and we you know, fully support these conferences, because just getting connected with the customer is something that everybody in my team wants to do. In fact, people, you know, really all, if like they had their choice, they'd all come to the conference. So it's like, right, we got to actually be, you know, selective in who gets to come, but everybody wants to, because the culture of the team is we want to be in contact with the customer and understand what they need and how they're using the products, learn from that, and then build better products that are more responsive to what the customer needs.
So speaking engagements, you already had yours. Was it yesterday?
Yeah, my talk yesterday morning.
So how'd that go? So what'd you kind of cover? Is this the kind of stuff you covered, or
yeah,
was
it? Pretty much this kind of stuff. It's really around the roadmap for the business, right, suite, and so had a really good turnout for that talk, and we covered the fact that we're going to keep doing releases, the investment priorities that we've talked about. We talked a lot about how eBusiness Suite can coexist with, in kind of a hybrid model, with some of the new cloud applications.
Yeah, I want to touch on that, because we talked to someone about that earlier. That's super cool.
That is. It's very, and people, you know, people hear so much about the cloud, and they're really
they're
looking
saturated
for the,
with it.
Saturated with it. They're really looking for, like, okay, what's practical? What am I really going to do from where I'm at
what
in my
sense.
Real environment?
Right.
And so it's not like I'm going to be 100% cloud tomorrow. It's like I've got a running system, and the whole business depends on it. So how do I really chip away at this? How do I get some value out of it, you know, without having a revolution in the change? So the answer is we've worked out a number of what we call coexistence scenarios.
Right.
They're very practical ways that make architectural sense with minimal integration, and just like ways to get value quickly out of some of the things we've done in the cloud. And so, you know, Nadia Benjadu had a presentation at the conference about that, where she talked about like 16 different scenarios and gave a lot of detail behind that. So that's available if people are interested to kind
right.
of download that and look at that. And I covered some of that in my session too. But that's really one of the most common popular topics, is like, help me make my roadmap about how I can get some value out of what you guys are doing in the cloud, even if my core is on EBS. And we're trying to, you know, communicate some good, you know, practical ideas about how to do that.
Well, it was super smart ditching the rip and replace model. I mean,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
It's not cost effective. There's no return. When there is a long-term return on the investment, but it's yeah. not cost effective.
It's a level of instability that a lot of customers are not into, and a lot of people who have done, you know, significant upgrades to get onto the current EBS are not really looking for another, like, giant project. They really are looking for how they can leverage the investment they made. They put a lot of energy into their EBS environment. They've trained users. They've got everybody going. And what they're now saying is, okay, now that I did that, what can I do to get more from that? Not how can I replace it with something else. And so what they're usually looking for is things that kind of add on cleanly to that environment. So some of the things, something as simple as like the Hyperion planning and budgeting that normally would require you to buy another computer, do a sizing exercise, implement
right.
that on premise in your data center, you can now subscribe to that and integrate it back to your EBS. So there's examples where there's very natural extensions to what people are doing in EBS. You can do those things in the cloud and get the benefit of the cloud for that stuff, and then have that really add value to your overall portfolio.
Yeah, it's a cool model, and it makes a lot of sense. And on a subject that typically doesn't make a lot of sense, cloud's not a whole very concrete model. I mean, there's a bunch of different ways to do it. So
yeah.
It's cool that you're kind of hitting everybody on that spectrum, which
yeah.
is really neat.
Well, that's right. We really are saying for the public cloud products, you're going to have some of those and your EBS, and you're going
right.
to coexist. The other thing that just to remind people of, and I think most EBS people know it, is that if what you want from the cloud is to not have to have your own data center, not have your own people running your own computers, not have to apply patches, not have to run the technical upgrades and all that kind of stuff, we have a service that'll do that
right.
for you called Managed Cloud Services, and there are other partners who offer similar services as well. So there's ways to get to that point in the process of, you know, moving to the cloud while you're still on EBS.
Right.
Now, if you want to actually subscribe to public cloud products and use the software as a service in that sense, then that's another thing you can do. But both paths represent ways to get some of what people are looking for from the cloud, you know, from an EBS starting point.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I remember we were talking to Nadia about that. It's
mm-hmm.
a super cool idea. So there's a lot going on at the conference. What are your plans for the rest of the week? I don't know when you're heading back to California, but what are your plans for the rest of the conference?
Well, I after my talk, I spend a lot of time in doing customer meetings.
Okay.
So it's really an opportunity to meet with a lot of people one-on-one, a lot of people to talk about their individual situation, answer their questions, give them some guidance on you know, should we, you know, of these different choices, you know, should we do this? Are you going to be investing in a particular area because we're thinking of doing customization if you're going to do it when we shouldn't customize? There are a lot of people who want to have those roadmap conversations. And, you know, what people need to know is we're very open to, I mean, not just myself, but all the kind of leads from development are open to having those kind of meetings at the conference and giving you like a one-on-one set of advice. And a lot of people take advantage of that.
Yeah, it's cool to get in touch with you at the conference and for customers to have that ability. But for those who can't make it, how do you get more information on the eBusiness Suite?
Well, one thing we've created since the last conference was on our Oracle University, the education business, has launched a new service called Streams. So there's the eBusiness Suite Stream. So you go to education.oracle.com/stream/eBusiness Suite. And you can get like hundreds of hours of content chopped into nice little pieces that are easy to consume.
Right.
You know, one
without glazing one, over.
Without like glazing over 60 hours at a time, but a lot of little 10-15 minute segments. And a lot of what we do at these conferences is actually recorded and covered in that forum. So these are nice professional video type things. This is not like a person with a webcam and Skype. This is like a real
right.
know, television studio level production. And you, like I've, you know, we've had interviews around these coexistence scenarios with somebody that represents each side of it, the cloud piece, the EBS piece, how the things work together. So you find a little 10-minute interview around, you know, any one of those coexistence scenarios on this learning channel, and all of that's free. There is a paid version of this service that's like
right.
really a lot of extra technical detail on a lot of subjects, but the sort of user conference type presentation information is all out there and it's all free. So I encourage people who haven't made it to the conference here to look at that Streams channel, that service for more information and get a lot of the conference material that from the Oracle side anyway they could have gotten by coming here and listening to the presentations.
Right, and you have whole stuff on YouTube too, right?
That's right. We got demos of a lot of the products out on YouTube. Got a lot of lecture material, a lot of you know, I mentioned on you know, conference type presentations on the learning stream. So we're really trying to do. We know a lot of people have an issue with travel, and you know, a lot of people are located in places where it's a big issue to travel this far. So we're really trying to reach out digitally to people so they can just consume it at their leisure at home or in, you know, wherever they work. And, you know, for people who can't travel and have the experience to
right.
get a lot of at least the information transfer that's available.
Well, Cliff, it's always great chatting with you and catching up on what's big in your world at Oracle. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, no problem. I'm Michael Lauer here at Collaborate 2015. We'll see you in a little bit.